Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Today I want to talk a little bit about incarnation, because this is precisely what we are celebrating this time of the year, and we're so close to the celebration of Christmas, we can almost taste it. I was thinking about the Christian creed that affirms that for us and for our salvation, Christ came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man. Jesus became flesh, said the Apostle John. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If we ponder that for just a moment, we recognize in that statement by the beloved apostle, in the Nicene Creed, in the Apostles' Creed, we realize a truth, and that truth is that Christ's kenosis becomes our theosis, that the emptying of Christ in incarnation becomes the means by which we might, as Peter put it, become partakers of the divine nature. That truth is codified, communicated, explained in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, which incidentally is not only available in book form, but also MP3 and CD available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. And it is so important for us to be fortified by truth and life, because today truth is being sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. In my book, The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction, which was co-authored with Dr. Paul Meyer, we talk about something called the Jesus game. And this is a game which starts with people giving you a sketch of Jesus on the basis of the Gospels, but then distorting the sketch as much as possible. So to speak, they add a bizarre background. They add episodes to the life of Christ that could not possibly have ever taken place. And if in the end the result still faintly resembles the Jesus of the New Testament, well, you're a loser. But if you come up with a radically different, sensationalistic portrait of Jesus, well, then you are a winner. And a winner means you sell lots of books, you're featured in lots of interviews, you become a sensation. But this is not new in the least. This thing called the Jesus game has been played ever since the pagan philosopher Celsus first helped set up the rules way back in the second century. But it has never been played with the kind of enthusiasm it is being played with today. And perhaps for good reason. Because not only are post-truth people increasingly historically illiterate, but they have access to unfiltered information on the internet. And all of this produces junk food for the mind. It produces a pseudo-intellectual meal that is as easy to swallow as it is devoid of all substance. And this is the case with pseudo-intellectual fast food pontifications, that the incarnation of Jesus Christ is but a pathetic facsimile of earlier pagan mystery religions. And of course, this has been popularized by icons in the culture, not only today's culture, but in past cultures. This idea that the incarnation of Christ, well, it's really not unique at all. In fact, it's sort of stolen. It parallels the Greek mythology of Leda and the swan. You know the story? Well, the story is Zeus, having taken on the form of a swan, had intercourse with the virgin Leda. So the spirit overshadowed Mary in the form of a dove. And it is said that in both scenes, divinities, by impregnating mortal women, intervene in and transform cultural history. The problem with all of this, and I talk about this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is that purveyors of this mythology, well, they employ biblical language, and then they go on to great extents to concoct commonalities. And sadly, that's about as good as it gets for the mystery religions. There are so many issues that surround incarnation. If you have a true valuation of things, you think perhaps about the precise modes of interaction between Christ's divine nature and his human nature. They, of course, transcend human understanding. But the doctrine of the incarnation never transgresses the laws of logic. To understand the logical coherence of incarnation, all you have to do is first consider human beings as being icons of God. Because God created humanity in his own image, the essential properties of human nature are not inconsistent with his divine nature. While the notion of Zeus becoming a swan is self-evidently absurd, the reality that God became man is most certainly not. And not only so, it is more than intoxicating to reflect on the reality that as Christ is incarnate in the image of humankind, so humanity in Christ is being reshaped or refashioned in the image of God. Those in Christ become by grace what the Son of God is by nature. We become children of God, his divinity interpenetrating our humanity, and as such, Christianity proffers far more than most people have imagined. We're not just saved from sin, we're saved for sonship, to become true heirs, children of God. Suffice it to say, when we encounter those who cast aspersions on the miraculous nature of Christ coming in the flesh, we do well to remember that it is our responsibility, your responsibility, my responsibility, to use well-reasoned answers as springboards or opportunities to demonstrate that the historical account of Christ's incarnation is not blind faith, but rather faith founded on a refutable fact. Think about it again. God became man so that men may become God. Never in terms of the essence of God. We become by grace what God is by nature. We never become what God is by nature. But we do become partakers of the divine nature, his divinity interpenetrating our humanity. That is a great and glorious truth that you can either abstain from, ridicule, or celebrate during this Christmas season. And again, as followers of Christ, we are not only to partake of the divine nature, but we are to share the truths of Christ. The incarnation we celebrate at Christmas with a lost and searching world. The caricature of Christ is rampant in the news. It is rampant in the media. We have an opportunity to give an alternate account, not only by the testimony of our words of truth, but the testimony of our life as well. Remember the book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. And we'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
If the gospel is true and God really is good, then where is God amidst extreme poverty and pain? New York Times bestselling author David Platt wrote the book Something Needs to Change to challenge you with some of life's hardest questions. Why? Because life's hardest questions don't demand mere answers, they require action. Something Needs to Change will leave you transformed and determined to take action today. Because something needs to change. To receive a copy of Something Needs to Change for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back to answer more questions. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Life's hardest questions don't demand mere answers. They require action. In Something Needs to Change, best-selling author David Platt takes you on a trek through some of the highest mountains and most remote villages in the world. Along the way, Platt's journey confronts several of the most difficult questions and challenging needs in the world today, and exposes the reality that God desires to use your life in greater ways than you ever imagined. Reading this book is not risk-free. It will leave you transformed and determined to take action, starting right where you live, because something needs to change. To receive Something Needs to Change, a call to make your life count in a world of urgent need, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember, as so many people are fixated on what is going on in politics, that the ballot box is necessary, but it is not sufficient. While we ought to take part in what is happening politically in our culture, as Christians, we have the opportunity to do that, and we ought to take advantage of that opportunity. We must also recognize that our culture is being impacted by the environmental industry, by the educational industries, by the entertainment industries. And the culture is going fast in the wrong direction. I oftentimes say this is not because pagans are doing what they're doing. What else would they do? It's because Christians are not exercising their responsibility to be salt and light. I'm thinking right now about a USA Today article by Lindsay Schnell. I read it a week or so ago. It dealt with what is happening within the Methodist Church. The United Methodists, the second largest denomination within the Protestant Church, is headed for a split, according to this article in USA Today. Why? Because leaders have voted to continue to ban same-sex marriage and openly LGBTQ people from serving as clergy. The LGBTQ community who are interviewed for this article say, well, the ban is a rejection of who they are. It's a rejection of who I am, they say. Of course, the question is this: is same-sex sexuality an identity, or is it a behavior? Well, the answer to that is it is not an identity, it is a behavior. Those who say it is an identity are playing a parlor game, and all too often, we buy into it uncritically. And not only so, you have in this article the Reverend Erin Martin. She oversees more than 40 Methodist clergy. And she says that those who aren't part of the church see a vote like this, a vote that confirms their worst suspicions that Christians are narrow, critical, and full of hate and condemnation. What else could they be if they're against same-sex marriage? And of course, she's not alone. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy too holds that marriage, as historically defined, fosters little more than ill will and animosity. That's precisely how he put it. In his considered opinion, anyone, again, this is the Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, a justice of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, saying that anyone who embraces the historical definition of marriage, thus excluding same-sex couples, and these are his exact words, does so out of hate and animus. It's as though they're reading the same talking points. But this is clearly not the case. Throughout the ages and in all societies, marriage has been unambiguously defined as union between men and women. And this is so because human beings are gender distinct by nature. The relationship between marriage and procreation is more than just incidental. What must surely be evident to Justice Kennedy and the LGBTQ community is that virtually every redefinition of marriage, including their own redefinitions of marriage, excludes someone. Siblings, the polygamous, the underaged, and the list goes on. If marriage means everything, in the end it means nothing at all. All churches ban immoral behaviors. The question is, which behaviors are to be considered immoral? Well, you can either get your cue from the culture or from the canon. Human sexuality is an essential teaching of Christian biblical ethics. It's simply what is taught by Scripture and confirmed by common sense. What does Scripture say? In the beginning, God created humankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And the Lord Jesus based His doctrine of marriage on this very passage. So you not only have the teaching in the Old Testament, God speaking, but Jesus Christ in the New Testament confirming what God says in the Old Testament. Of course, Jesus and God are one and the same, one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. And as I have consistently communicated during the entirety of my ministry, there can be liberty in non-essentials and charity in all else, but there must be unity in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. To seek unity at the cost of essential matters of the faith is tantamount to throwing away the kernel of a nut and keeping the shell. While we are to direct our energies toward the end game of fusion as opposed to fission, we are never to do so at the expense of essential faith and practice. In today's cultural climate, and I'm not supposed to talk about this, I'm supposed to put it in the closet and hide it, but in today's cultural climate, we must speak out. We must speak out with biblical precision and do so with love, never animus and hate. But to tell the truth is not hateful. To tell the truth is sheer love and grace, as long as we do it in a graceful manner. So here you have a split taking place in the second largest Protestant denomination on the planet over an issue that has been settled in civilizations, settled in time immemorial. And now you have a church splitting over this very issue when the church ought to be united around this essential. Marriage is one of the essential building blocks of human civilization. It's not up for grabs. We must stand firm on this issue. We must never waver. For we are talking not about the thoughts of human beings, but the precepts of God who created those human beings in His image and is in process of conforming them to His likeness. Well, as we close today's broadcast, I do want to say once again, we do what we do because life and truth matters, and we are deeply grateful for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We will never be politically correct. We're not looking for popularity or a bigger platform. We are committed to standing for life and truth in this moment of history. And we are deeply grateful for all of you that stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. It is not an easy thing to do, but it's necessary. I remember Athanasius, when the very nature of Christ was on the chopping block, said, "Athanasius contra mundum," Athanasius against the world. It doesn't matter what the world says, we're not to follow the world, we're to follow the one who created the world. So thanks for standing with us prayerfully and financially. Do remember, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You're making a difference for time and for eternity. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth in Christ through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.